I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time to go to the beauty shop. That's where we get a woman's perspective on things happening in the news. Today we wanted to dive into what has become a guilty pleasure for many people, reality TV. This week, just as the NBA playoffs get underway, VH1 premiered the third season of its series Basketball Wives. The show follows several women who are married to or who have been involved with professional athletes. I'll just give you a short clip of just a little taste. Here's an exchange between Evelyn and Tammy, two cast members who were involved with the same man.
I'm sorry that I told you that, you know, you were a non-factor, because obviously you have two kids by him. You're going to be a factor for the rest of your life because you're connected to him.
I thought that was actually, you know, in the moment, it sent me to another level.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In retrospect, it's actually comical because at the end of the day, I was a wife. Jennifer right. was a wife. Shawnee was a wife. You can't claim that.
Ta-da. The Basketball Wives premiere was followed by the premiere of a new scripted romantic comedy called Single Ladies. That's about four women navigating relationships amid expensive lifestyles in Atlanta. That show stars actresses Stacey Dash and Lisa Ray. We wanted to talk more about this and the portrayal of women and the fact that they're actually both produced by women. So we've actually called upon an alumna of reality television, Stacey Turner. She's a real estate executive. She's a past cast member of the Bravo series Real Housewives of D.C. She's here with us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Also with us, Jessica Cohen, editor-in-chief of Jezebel.com, and Galina Espinoza, editorial director of Latina Magazine. They're both with us from our bureau in New York. Ladies, welcome to you. Thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Hey.
Stacey, I'm going to start with you. I'm just curious why you wanted to be part of the Real Housewives of D.C.
You know, it's interesting. I've never been a reality TV watcher, but what I have seen doesn't really replicate my life or a lot of the lives of my friends. So we thought that by being on the show, portraying a positive black family, you know, good life with kids, doing positive things, working in charity, working a business, and not doing some of the stereotypical drama, we would see somebody that more mirrors who we are.
No neck rolling, no finger in the air.
Not that much.
No. Well, what did you think of Basketball Wives? We forced you to watch it. That wasn't really on your dance card until we asked you to.
It was outrageous. It was completely outrageous. It was what I expected. And I think that, you know, in today's TV land, reality is what is the 90% of programming that's on there. The sad thing is that most of the portrayals of women are negative. Most of them are the same. Even the scripted sitcoms like Single Ladies and so forth, they still are dealing with the same old stuff. What I would hope is that they would show some different experiences, different people doing things that can be dramatic, but it doesn't involve a cat fight or cussing one out.
Galina, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does confirm all your worst suspicions about what these shows are when you sit down to watch them. And I think it is unfortunate, but I do think that it also speaks to what's going on in culture today, where I feel like people are facing a lot of difficulties. Life is hard. The economy is in the toilet. And people really are turning to pure escapism. This is a familiar pattern throughout cultural history. You know, in the 30s and the Great Depression, that's when screwball comedies really rose up and became like the dominant genre of that time. You know, is reality television our version of the screwball comedy? Sad to say, I kind of think that it is.
Well, yeah, beautiful clothes, fabulous cars, great apartments. One of the things that, Galina, I'm curious about how you feel about this, and I'm also interested in how your readers feel about this, and Jessica, I want to hear this from you too, is that these reality shows are often among the most diverse casts on television. On the other hand, what they have these people doing is not exactly, I don't know about you, this is not exactly what I want my kids doing. It's not what I want my daughters doing. So how do people, Galina, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that our audience at Latina does respond because there are so few examples of Latinas on television anywhere that to a certain extent, we're just grateful to see ourselves present. Now, again, it's not necessarily the portrayal we would want, but the fact that we are there and that we are figuring in the plot line of a show, any show, is important enough that you will find a portion of the audience that wants to support that. You know, that said, we do get a lot of feedback, you know, from our website and, you know, from emails that I get from the audience saying, you know, like, why are these women representing in such a negative way? So it's a really mixed feeling that the audience has about it. They like seeing themselves, but they do wish that the portrayal was more real.
And VH1 says, Jessica, I just want to give this data point. VH1 says the premiere of both shows this week made Monday night its highest rated night in a year and a half. Jessica, what do you think?
Well, I think that speaks to the fact that women actually do want to see something different. And sadly enough, this is different. Having shows that are heavily cast with women of color are different, and they are breaking the norm. And I found that the reader reaction on Jezebel and my reaction, too, was we want to love Basketball Wives. Or not, I'm sorry. You can't love Basketball Wives. I don't. It's inherently unlovable. But we really wanted to love single ladies. And
a new Sex in the City, we were
exactly,
hoping.
Exactly.
But,
and
but no.
In the earlier years of Sex in the City, the writing was actually pretty good. And you are hoping for that with single ladies since the premise is very similar, but the writing wasn't there. That's not to say you don't want to give it a chance, but it touched on every girly trope out there.
Like what? For those who didn't see it.
Fabulous clothes, the rich man, the heartbreak, all. You know, one of the main characters is suddenly single because her boyfriend of 5 years wouldn't put a ring on it. And, you know, that is a real thing. That happens. But that male-female relationship is what is dominating the storyline when you have three potentially interesting female characters and their friendship is not central to the storyline.
And the other thing that got me about it is that the argument for why they should get married was so stupid. It wasn't because I love you, we want to make a family together, because we belong together. It's no, because my friend, I'm embarrassed in front of my family and friends. Spare me.
And when you look at a movie like Bridesmaids, which deals again with the same sorts of issues of women getting married, of the whole ritual involved there, yet truly that movie is not about marriage. It is about female friendship and a celebration of the bonds of these women and the importance that women play in each other's lives. There is a way to tackle all of these things and have the fabulous clothes and the cheesy moments and the inappropriate sex talk, but in a way that does not devalue women.
Okay, but how about this, Jessica? Queen Latifah is the executive producer of Single Ladies, and Shawnee O'Neal, the ex-wife of basketball superstar Shaquille O'Neal, who just announced his retirement yesterday, by the way, is the executive producer of Basketball Wives. So,
I mean, that's why you want to give these shows a chance. I think the creators and the creative forces behind these shows give you hope, particularly for single ladies. And it was the pilot. It was the introductory episode. You know, I want to believe writers are going to respond to this feedback that they're hearing, not just from Jezebel per se, but across the board, I think. So you have talented women who are behind this. And I think Single Ladies has a real opportunity not to play into girly stereotypes. They don't need to actually zoom in on – there was a shot where they focused on a crystal embellished stiletto for like 3 seconds. It had nothing to do with anything.
The interesting thing to have focused on would have been the fact that one of the main characters was an entrepreneur. She had started this shop. I was so disappointed when she said, "I started it for you." For the guy who was dumping her, I'm like, no, you started it for you, because that's what you do. And so you can just see where it could go a positive angle with the storyline that's there. It doesn't always have to go down. Talk about the positive stuff that she's doing, the way she's a top stylist. She had all these celebrities coming in the store. So obviously she was connected and had a serious profession before. Let's hear about that.
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're visiting the beauty shop with Stacey Turner, former cast member of, still cast member of The Real Housewives of D.C., Jessica Cohen, editor-in-chief of Jezebel.com, and Galina Espinosa, editorial director for Latina Magazine. I want to talk, move from drama on television to drama on the internet. This is a big story in Washington, D.C., and also New York, I would imagine, because it involves a New York congressman, Anthony Weiner. He's caught up in this Twitter scandal, a suggestive photo apparently sent from his personal account to a female college student on Friday of a, how can I put this? bulging underpants, let's put it that way. And he says that his account was hacked, but he is not denying that that photo is of him. He says he didn't send it, but he's not denying that it is of him. I'll just play a short clip.
It was a prank. You know, it is not a national security thing. I'm not sure I want to put national federal resources into trying to figure out who posted a picture on Weiner's website of whatever. I'm not really sure it rises, no pun intended, to that level.
I'm just going to let that sit there for 1 minute.
I know, Jessica, you're sitting here giggling.
It's impossible not to. What an unfortunate last name for this particular scandal.
Jessica, what do you think about the way he's handling this? And I know that, what are people saying about this?
I mean, he's really digging himself into a deeper hole here, isn't he? He's saying it could possibly be him, which kind of implies that he has taken pictures like this before, and he seems to be suggesting or dancing around it in a way that is saying those pictures – what I'm getting from this is that those pictures are quite likely similar to something I might have taken, but I didn't tweet them. Somebody hacked it.
The context of this, too, is he's recently married to a high-ranking aide to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Huma Abedin, who's a lovely woman. And the other context of this is a Republican congressman resigned his seat. His seat was just filled in a special election after he sent – it's undeniably him – after he sent pictures of himself to a woman on a dating site. And she, you know, was very disturbed because he's married. I mean, and she – you know, the woman to whom he sent it was single. And she said, look, I have a right. I'm single to go out and meet people. But he's a married congressman, what's that all about? So, Stacey, what do you make of this? He's saying that this is a much ado about nothing. What do you think?
It's ridiculous. He absolutely did it. What's so sad is that I would have never known anything that Congressman Wiener did unless this whole scandal had come up. So, at this point, he's ineffective in his role. Everyone's going to remember him for this. And it's just ridiculous. If you didn't do it, you would say you didn't do it.
Well, the irony of it is, though, he has actually become — and Galena, maybe you want to back me up on this — he's actually become noted as a very strong sort of partisan defender of the Democratic Party and the Obama administration right now. And some of the scuttlebutt here is that in part why this surfaced now, is to neutralize him as an effective articulator of Democratic principles at a time when the Democrats feel that they're on the ropes.
Well, so, he is certainly considered a rising star here in New York. And I think that that's why it has attracted the attention it has, because it's not something that we expected to be hearing about him. But whether or not this was a prank, whether this was politically motivated, whether he was targeted because of his rising prominence, he is making it worse now. He should be firing all of his press people because they have not given him a clear message. All of the talking about it and not talking about it at the same time is only making him look like he's guilty, not just of this, but of possibly far worse things. And he keeps saying that he doesn't want to turn this into an issue. He doesn't want to spend the next 2 weeks talking about it. And yet he keeps talking about it. So I don't know what is going on there, but he just looks like he is a bad guy at the moment and he needs to stop.
What is up with the sending pictures around, though? Remember that last year it was the Brett Favre, when he was at the Jets, he's never denied it either. He subsequently apologized that he sent pictures of himself.
And what is it about
ego
all these
overload.
These prominent men, particularly in the field of politics, who are sabotaging themselves? I mean, this is a really interesting dynamic that we consistently see among powerful men. And I don't know if it's that they feel that they're so powerful at this point that they can get away with anything. But we seem not to be learning from these experiences. You would think that Arnold Schwarzenegger's situation would put an end to all of these kinds of shenanigans. And yet it's every other week there's a new scandal.
Well, I'll just give one more disclaimer from him, which is obviously we haven't discussed this, but he says that he's not sure. He doesn't think it's him, but he definitely says he didn't send it to this young lady. So I have the feeling that this isn't the last we've heard of this story. Finally, one last bit of political news. Sarah Palin is taking a bus tour of the U.S. She stopped in your town, ladies, in New York. She had pizza with Donald Trump, and she told ABC News.
I don't think she ate the pizza. I saw her cutting it with a knife and fork, but not actually putting it in her mouth.
So no real New Yorker would do that, right? You're saying? So Jess, what do you think? You know, savvy political move by an unconventional player, or yet more circus? What's your
I think it's more circus. It would be savvy if she actually said something while she's making these appearances. She doesn't necessarily have to say she's, you know, making a campaign tour here. I think that's actually quite obvious, and it's silly that she's not saying it. But let's accept that she's not saying it. She should be saying something when she goes to these places, and she's not. She went to Ellis Island and tweeted something about how great it was that, you know, America was built by immigrants. And like, wow, what a wonderful insight.
But you did.
Thank you.
Galena, what about you?
I mean, I don't think that you step out in public with Donald Trump if you are not interested in the circus. So I think that she is using taking a page from the Donald's book and using this opportunity to milk all the publicity she can get. And I think that that is going to put her in a strong position for when she does announce that she's running for president.
You do think she's running?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's such – there's no clear star emerging in that very crowded field. And I think that getting this momentum going primes her perfectly for the announcement and ensures that she is going to dominate the news cycle when she does announce.
And there's something really evilly brilliant about mm-hmm. refusing to tell the press where she's going.
Yeah.
It ups the intrigue. Everybody is following her, even just following her on the road because they don't know where she's going
next. She's consistent in her message that she doesn't need the mainstream media.
Right.
Which is true. Stacey, what do you think?
I think it's a circus as well. I think that she is absolutely brilliant and feeding on this. And what's sad is that the media is feeding on it. They are following her everywhere. So obviously it's working. I think that she's going to announce her campaign. She doesn't have anything to say because she's not deep enough to have anything to say.
So we should pull off that bus tour.
Yeah, we should. I mean, I think there are a lot of serious issues we should be talking about, and she gives everyone an excuse not to talk about them.
So you won't be seeking an interview? Neither of you up there. I won't be reading about her in the pages of Latina and Jezebel.
If she wants to say something important about immigration, we're all ears.
If she came forward and the offer was there, absolutely. But I don't think we're going to really seek it out.
Okay. I'm going to play this tape if she announces, and I'm going to bring you all back and play it right there. Stacey Turner is a real estate executive, past cast member of the Bravo series Real Housewives of D.C. She was kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Jessica Cohen is editor-in-chief of Jezebel.com. Galina Espinoza is editorial director of Latina Magazine, and they were both with us from New York. Ladies, thank you all so much.
Thank you.
And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Devar Ardalan, Bridget Deshagas, Letitia Dobbins, Tinbeat Ermias, Arjun Hutchins, Sanaj Meshkinpour, Veronica Miller, Lena Moses Schmidt, and Emily Oxenschlager, Amitha Parasher, and Amy Ta. Our editor is Kyle McKinnon. Our director is Monica Evstatieva. Our senior producer is Alicia Montgomery. Our technical director is Brian Jarbo. He had a hand this week from Neil Tevold. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior editor is Portia Robertson-Migas. The executive producer is Tashima Walker. And remember, to tell us more, you can always go to npr.org and find us under the Programs tab. You can also follow us on Twitter. Just look for Tell Me More NPR. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.